Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Welcome to Black Girl Stuff. Black Girl Stuff. We got 99 problems, and K. Michelle tells us why she's one.
People are going to be so angry with me, and I don't give a f-. I will be your problem. Right. I'll be your problem.
We're going into the comments to see when it's okay to shed a tear.
That generational curse has led to men growing up and not being able to, like, fully express themselves.
Queen B is breaking records and running up bags.
We're talking about using the power of no when we need to.
You're not getting in my car. Sorry.
Put me on camera first.
Yep, hey, you look, are on I'm camera. A, hey,
we got you, sis.
All that and more
tonight on Black Girl Stuff.
Welcome to Black Girl Stuff. Tonight, our girl and co-host, Akilah Friend, is back in the BGS house.
Hey,
girl.
Hey, y'all.
How you feeling? What you been up to? Give us the tea.
Listen, it's been a revolt year. Like, it's been amazing watching you guys and doing your thing. And obviously, I wanted to get back in the mix. During this time away, I've been really focused on building this business correspondent role for Revolt Black News, like, talking about financial literacy, wealth, and just building the black dollar.
The money.
And now we're trying to bring that around to the Black Girl Stuff house, because I feel like, you know, we talk about it, but let's really talk about it, you know? From all different angles. So I've been loving my time, but I'm loving you girls, too. So I'm like, let me join the party.
Well, welcome back. Ladies, let's be honest. We are very emotional beings, okay? But when is it okay not to cry? And when is it okay for a brother to let his guard down and shed a tear or two? Let's take a look.
Ladies, is it okay for men to cry?
Yeah!
Shut the f*** up. No, it is not. It's okay for women to cry. It's okay for y'all to cry. Y'all cry so much, y'all don't even have the face muscles to stop yourself from crying. You ever see a woman try to stop herself from crying? Nah, just cry. Get this shit out. This is disgusting. Come on, come on. Just fucking let it out.
Oh, I'm guilty. Okay. But let's get real for a moment. Like, do you think it's a double standard when it comes to men and women and them being able to cry?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I feel like men from the beginning as young boys, a lot of times are taught not to cry, to hide their emotions, that it's not manly to cry, to overly express yourself the way that women do. And I think that generational curse, I'm gonna call it, has led to men growing up and not being able to, like, fully express themselves. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a double standard there because we're taught to express yourself. Tell me how you feel. Let it go. Mm. Cry. It's okay. Crying is feminine. But I think when a man is able to tap into those, you know, those features of crying and expressing himself, he becomes a better person.
That's true. I agree with that. And I think maybe because I know that, I think when men cry in front of me, I take it like, wow, he must really think I'm a safe space, right? And like, versus when my female friends or I cry, like, you know, it's more so, let's talk through this, let's get through this and go and just move on with our day. I take it way more seriously when a man cries, especially when I know it's not directly correlated, but something to be said about, like, the National Institute on Drug Abuse actually stated that men are 2 to 3 times more likely to have substance use dependencies. Yes. That means being on drugs and alcohol, because you're not able to really release your emotions.
So if
you don't have any outlet, you're like, let me just suppress
holding it. Holding it in and
hold
bottling
it in.
And
right.
suppressing, like you said, and those feelings and emotions gotta go somewhere. And sometimes I feel like, a lot of times, crying is just as therapeutic as laughter.
Yeah. Yes.
So I do encourage men to cry. And like, I've had like one or two instances where it's maybe a guy has experienced death in the family where he's cried, but like just crying because he's overwhelmed or just in his feelings. I don't feel like men really allow themselves to feel that, but I would love to see more brothers doing
Absolutely.
It.
Let it go,
I mean, I feel like in a relationship, I want my man to feel like he has a safe space to cry and not feel judged.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to cry. But I'm going to be real with y'all. I don't want to look over at my man crying for everything because you're a leader. It would not make me feel secure as a woman in the relationship if you crying about everything. But I do want you to feel a safe space to cry to me. Cry to me and tell me, but you can't cry about everything. And I see you crying a lot. And I'm just like, oh, what do we do? Because now I have to step up because as a partner, I have to balance.
Yeah. It makes you feel like the mother instead of a partner.
I have to step up.
Facts.
And then so, like, how am I supposed to feel secure if you crying about a problem?
That's a great take, Tori, and I never thought about it like that, but you're right, because women, we naturally are, like, we'll overcompensate for whatever's lacking in the situation in our relationship. So if a guy is crying, like, we'll overcompensate with our masculinity because we feel like he might be lacking in that area. So it's not like all the time, but we got to talk about when is that time? Like, when is it okay? In what situations do you believe it's appropriate for you to cry or a man to cry? Like, when is that time okay?
I just feel like you can't put a cap on someone's emotions. When we start to do that, we start to tell people that it's not okay to communicate what they're feeling, to communicate that I'm hurt, I need help, I'm feeling something. Yeah. I think that when someone consistently is crying over the same issue and you're not making any progress to make it better, then it's like, all right, you don't, stop crying. Yeah. Just go fix the problem.
Right. Get
yourself together. But I think putting a cap on someone's emotional, outlet is just not the thing to do. So for me, it's like, always tell me your emotions. If tears come with that, then I just understand it's a release and let's find a way to move forward and just, let it go.
In what situations do you feel like it's generally not okay or not appropriate for you or your man to cry?
I would say, like, you can't put a cap on it. If you want to cry, cry. But let's be solution-based. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Let's try to figure out how we can figure out the problem. I would say, as a woman, I wouldn't cry in the workspace because then it could look like you're emotionally not able to perform at your best. And that's why a lot of people, and I hate to make it a gender thing, but that's why a lot of people say, oh, and I do believe a woman could be president. Mm-hmm. But a lot of men may feel like we make emotional decisions. So I feel like if you show that you can control your emotions, not be numb and not have those feelings, but at least be able to control it and maybe not, I wouldn't show it in the workplace.
Yeah, I agree with the
workplace. I agree.
We had one of my jobs, all the women knew, you just got to make to that fifth floor bathroom and there was a stall. Woo. That if a woman is in that stall,
she's going through it.
Mm-hmm. Don't look at her another way, don't whatever else, but if she's in that stall, that's what's up. And so there was one time where I was passed up for a promotion. I was so ready for it. I was like, this is it, it's my time, this is that. And the manager told me, like, oh, no. No, it's not. Pretty much. And I just drew a blank and I was just kind of like, okay. In my head, I was like, fifth floor. I just knew I had to make it there because if I cried, it would showcase, like, one, I felt like it would be okay. I think it was warranted, but at the same time, I felt like it would give him the impression that it was justified to say I couldn't handle
situations.
It. Right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Even though for me, crying for me is like when I'm very angry, very stressed.
Yes.
So it's just like, it just literally releases toxins and then I'm like ready to go.
I mean, obviously we have a job where we can show our emotion, but in, like you said, a cubicle or a 9-to-5 or a traditional job, I would never break or feel comfortable being able to be vulnerable like that in the space. Because like you said, it's often used against us when we're women. But I kind of feel like crying is like farting. Like, you can't control it. And sometimes it's better out than in. You know what I'm saying?
It's so true.
And I don't want to see my man cry when it's something that has to do with, like, our family's livelihood or well-being. Like, I understand that's a lot of pressure, and you can cry to me, but don't, like, cry in front of the family or the kids to show the kids that we don't got our stuff together.
I kind of disagree a little bit because I am a boy mom, and not to say that I want to see his dad crying in front of him, but there are going to be times when I would love for his dad to express the type of emotion that's going to show him it's okay to be vulnerable, it's okay to be transparent, it's okay to release this, let it go. When we go through different things, when we're moving through life and we're having loss of family members or certain things, I want him to see his dad like, oh my God, daddy's upset, something's going on. I want him to pay attention, read the room and say like, oh, this is a time where we're okay to let this go. But like you said, I think there's times when you're supposed to release and when you're supposed to like maintain your composure.
I love that.
I agree with that, especially when raising kids and you don't want to tell sons, especially like, don't cry, you're a boy. You know what I mean? You never want to say that. You want them to be able to express their emotions, but you also want to protect them and not allow people to see them as weak.
Yeah.
And I assume that they would. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, just be selective of who you share you with, and I think that you should just do that in general.
That's in general.
That's true.
Facts. Now, speaking of general rules, do y'all feel like it's a double standard sometimes when it comes to white women and their ability and freedom to express their tears?
If they weaponize their tears and they're using it to hurt somebody. For an example, when you just put on a cry, but you're not really hurt, you're trying to cause harm to someone else.
Facts. That's an example that literally happened in But So Many, you know, Words with Amy Cooper. That was the one who was like birding while black. You remember right around George Floyd, and she you know, had a problem because the black man just asked her to put her dog on a leash. And she ended up, you know, not wanting to do that and then calling the police. Mm-hmm. And the first thing she said and did, she started crying and then said, hey, you know, an African-American male is here trying to tell me, I guess, what to do in a way to trigger the police to respond in a way that was more aggressive.
I feel like don't weaponize and don't manipulate with your tears. And also, like, no matter what race you are and or gender, male or female, don't let your tears paralyze you. So it's like, okay, you feeling this way? Cry, get it out, and let's keep going. Whether you my man or even myself, I have to tell myself, okay, let it out and let's keep going. Y'all, up next, we're discussing how Beyonce is bossing up everybody in unique ways, and she's heated up this economy with her Renaissance World Tour. Keep a lot with more black girl stuff.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Yes, Beyonce did it again with another historical record. The Renaissance World Tour is now the highest grossing tour by any female artist in history.
Ooh.
It's projected to make over $2 billion, y'all.
That's like, a bag.
That is a bag. Let's talk about how much of a bag it is. Like the sold out tours, the tickets, the concert performances.
I'm talking about all the girls were like on TikTok. It was so fun watching everybody get ready for the concert in different cities. Like I was even on like overseas with it. Like the London, UK girls, they were serving. Even a lot of girls from like Atlanta like flew to different countries to go see Beyonce. It was like, dang.
I love her halo effect. She made people go out and actually buy silver and black. Thank you, Bree, for taking me. You know, Bree took me for my birthday.
And
thank you. It was so fun. But I mean, it just shows how powerful the black dollar is.
Right? So this tour has certainly had an economical impact. And many believe it's because of something called the halo effect.
Oh, you can see my halo, halo, halo.
Yes. Clearly Beyonce fans here, but that's not the halo effect that we're talking about. The halo effect is the influence of choosing to buy a product because of the positive aspects of the celebrity representing it. Okay. For example, internet searches for metallic cowboy boots increased by 488%, according to fashion retailer Nasty Gal.
And another thing that, like, people were searching for and looking for, like, when they were online was cowboy hats. Because, of course, they go with the theme. When you got the boots, you got to have a hat.
And another thing that she did for fashion with that moment, too, on Juneteenth, she honored black designers like Laquan Smith and some other notable designers Balmain. Like, she really showed out. Like, I appreciate Beyonce for that.
That's how you
use
your black
girl influence
for good. I never
actually got dressed up for a concert before, but I know that people, of course, did it before, like Prince. Of course, they wore purple. And, like, they do have big celebrity artist who has that halo effect, but I haven't seen it in a very long time. We go to concerts and you get a great performance, but like to dress up and like feel like
would the whole world know?
Not just that though, but what she did for young children to be able to attend the concert and see blue in uniform like that just shape-shifted a whole new thing I don't even think we paid attention to. Because when we go to concerts, you don't normally see children there.
Right.
She made it feel like a safe space, and I think that's super important, too. And she made it fun and inviting by bringing blue and showing, like, her hard work and her ethic underneath her mother, who we look up to, who has a very strong work ethic.
But, you know, it wasn't just the people. It was the businesses that really profited, right? Like, many local businesses on this tour run saw a surge in revenue, particularly black female and LGBTQ plus owned businesses. Love like, did any of you ladies happen to shop with any of your favorite black owned brands for any concert needs?
Okay, so this concert, I was balling on a budget.
Okay.
So I couldn't really go out and buy anything, but I definitely pulled outfit, like, pieces from my closet. Y'all
cute.
See, I had that crop that already had the metallic and the silver. Threw on a cowboy hat, because I feel like that's a staple in your closet.
It
every
is.
Girl need a cowboy hat, period. And I just had them silver metallic boots, but I did shop black with going to get my lashes done,
cute.
Buy a black tech, you know, and I had my brace was done by somebody black, too.
But so. You know what's crazy about, like, kind of the additional things outside of clothes? Like you said, there was a Yelp search, you know, research that said that searches for nail techs tripled during
that's
the week of the...
I saw a lot of
nail techs tripled, wigs searches rose 81%, you know, dive bars even rose 160% compared to the previous year. So, like, literally every aspect of the tour was touched.
But you know what? I think it was definitely an opportunity for brands and businesses to capitalize on the movement. You got to just meet your customer where they are. So, like, if you knew, say, May, when the concert started, that metallic silver cowboy boots and cowboy hats were going to be a thing, then all you had to do for your boutique was either go grab these items,
stock up,
upcharge, and now you're making a profit. Or even as like a lash, nail, hair girl, you just market to cater to the people who are going to the concert. Like, hey, y'all, I know Beyonce going to be in the city this weekend. I'm running a Beyonce special.
That's it. Have a theme.
You have a theme with it.
That's
and so
always
it makes
keeping
people...
an ear to the streets. Always keeping your foot in the culture. Always will keep you ahead. Always knowing what's going on, not being not, you know what I mean? Not aware of what's going on in our culture, and that was a big part.
That's it.
I didn't get to go see Beyonce in the Renaissance tour. We had Beyonce at home in my in Renaissance fashion. I am a girl that loves sparkles and loves metallics and loves the colors, so I think just not actually going and just seeing you guys' excitement and being on the socials, I was like, yes.
You was about it. You was about it.
For me. Yes, for me, it was at a at-home thing. But Beyonce, next time you want me to come, just let me know.
We'll be there.
Right. For me, I actually traveled. I didn't travel outside of the country like a lot of folks did and actually saved money traveling outside of the country.
Oh, you look good. Come on.
I went to L.A. It was a good little reunion with people, but we made it a whole. Yes. So I had to go birthday weekend. I had to see what it was.
Look at me.
Yeah, so she had her birthday fits. I had my little birthday suit on myself.
Okay.
And, like, really dressed it up with a lot of silver. But really, it was, like, the event overall.
Yes.
So we had a pregame where we had, like, decorative cakes and, like, off of different songs off the album. Like,
that's
we had,
cute.
Like, you know, obviously did, like, you know, video montages and TikToks about it all. Obviously sang our hearts out during the concert. Like, made it an entire moment for the weekend.
Beyonce.
So much so that people, some of us went twice. Some of us end up trying to sneak into the... On the
I
birthday?
Think Kennedy won't
make
you
they
do
made
that.
It. Right.
Beyonce will make you do that.
Yes, it was a good time.
She's creative.
I didn't know that I was going. It was a surprise for me. Marie surprised me. It was my birthday.
Yes.
Okay. And
she's like, I don't have anything.
I'm like, so I'm thinking we just gonna go regular, you know, whatever.
She was like, sweats. I was like, no.
No, we're gonna get fully dressed up. And so I was saving this for New Year's. This was my New Year's Eve.
Look at that. Beyonce brought it out of you.
I was like, do you think this is too much? She was like, no, it's perfect. It's sparkly. This is exactly the look. You know, I felt sexy in it. And I didn't feel overdressed because when I got there, it was people out doing this.
People weren't really doing it.
I saw, what is it called when you have the pants with the ass out?
Oh, chaps.
The chaps.
I saw chaps, bedazzled chaps.
Right.
A lot of ass.
It was a lot.
I was like, oh, I'm right on. I had such a great time. It was amazing.
Yes.
The energy was crazy. Just to feel that amount of people, it just...
In unison.
It makes you get chills.
Speaking in unison, Beyonce did publicly say, we won in Atlanta the Mute Challenge.
She did.
We did the night that we went.
Yeah.
So we won.
We won.
Okay. You know what? Okay. Y'all may have won the Mute Challenge, but Queen B had everyone on mute. Our next guest is bringing us new music and telling us why she's the problem. Keep it locked, we got K. Michelle in the building. Straight ahead on Black Girl Stuff.
Take all my money, Beyonce. Take it, whatever you need, girl. I think I got a little more. Come on, let's go, I'm ready. Are you ready? It's a Renaissance, baby. Woo!
Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Black girl stuff. I didn't know what was gonna happen to me. And nobody did.
I remember one morning I woke up and my legs gave out. They didn't know if I had a stroke.
Oh, this is the first time in my life I've ever gone through something like that.
What's wrong with me?
Welcome back to Black Girl Stuff. Our first guest is a talented artist and also known for being honest with her depictions of her life journey. Now, through her music, reminding people it's okay to sometimes be the problem. Please welcome me in joining our guest, the one and only Kay Michelle.
Yes. Welcome, Michelle. Thank you
for the introduction.
You're amazing. Welcome to the BGS house.
Thank y'all for having me.
One thing you are known for is being super honest and transparent. Like we just saw in that clip from your show, My Killer Body. Yeah. Tell us what that journey has been like for you.
I think that journey has been like really eye-opening. I produced a show for Lifetime last year, and it was women who had gone into surgery or done things like I had done with the injections and butt shots and things, who didn't have the money or didn't understand how to heal. Mm. When I say heal, not just mentally, I mean like physically, to actually live and be here for their kids. I just went on and told on myself, and it just took on a whole nother type of situation once I told what I was going through.
And we applaud you for your bravery. Yes. Because because that transparency, let's be real, women are not going to stop getting enhancements. But because of you, like, they're going to do research now. They're going to look more into it. Because you made me start doing research. I started looking, too, because I didn't understand it. And I didn't know it cost so much to fix either. So a lot of people, they don't have the money to fix it.
It can be like a cheap fix. Okay, you say, oh, I can get these shots. I can do this and that. And I thought I went to the person. He had done everybody. Mm-hmm. And I wanted a bigger butt before I put out my first song ever. And I never thought that I would get, like, so sick where I would be, like, in a ball. Mm-hmm. And then doctors, like I was a test subject. Doctors would kept on saying, we don't know what's wrong with the girl.
Oh, my God.
They told me I had lupus.
Oh, wow. What?
So we thought I had lupus for 2 weeks. That was super emotional. Mm-hmm. And then come to find out, it was the silicone shots in my body that were causing the migraines, causing the weakness, causing the fatigue, that breaking out in hives and everywhere on my body.
Wow. What would you say to the people, even after they know like what you've been through, would still say, you know what, she's only doing this because she's already achieved success. She already had the music, she has the reality TV. Of course, she's now advocating, don't do the thing that a lot of people think is the gateway in, right? So what would you say to those haters in the sense that are saying she's not real about what she's saying. She's already gotten what she needed from the injections.
I told my story before it was cool. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was not in trend, on style, or anything to talk about your body. Mm-hmm. And
I'll be real.
Be real. I reached out to a lot of celebrities so they could come on the show and help women, and none of them wanted to help. Even the ones that speak about it now, they didn't want to help. They said they didn't want to be known for that. And I didn't never had a thought. It wasn't like I didn't think. I just thought it was the right thing to do. If you show women how great your life is, you ain't gonna tell them the other side of it. You're not finna show them the real. And that ain't never been who I was. So if you pay attention, this is something that's been going on really in and out. I almost died. This wasn't a thing of I'm gonna get a surgery. I had 13 surgeries in 1 year.
That's cool.
And they was fighting to keep me alive. I didn't even think I was gonna go through it that deep. So if you knew that story and you watch, if you see my body now, you see my insecurities of I got a dent here, that's my personal insecurities, you know, from that. But I've given it to the world. And I haven't been fake about it at all. I never have felt like, man, I have my moments. I'd be like, well, maybe I shouldn't have said something because they try to pick on me.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, if they can't find nothing with you, then you're going to pick on me. You're going to pick on me about something that I'm honest about and I'm trying to help, you know?
Right.
Well, it's super inspiring to hear you, like, really embrace your journey and go through these things. Because a lot of women aren't transparent about what they go through behind closed doors. And that's super deep that you were able to, like, really let that out and give it to us. Because people can't do that. I'm not trying to make you cry, but that's
girl. We've been talking about
crying. I'm a crier.
I'm a crier.
I am, too.
And then I'd be like, okay, now I'm a gangster.
Super transparent. Mm-hmm. That's super important. We need more women like you. And I want to ask you, what would you say to young women that are on that journey of self-discovering and, like, learning to love themselves again? Like, because that's really important. And it's super deep that you were able to do that.
People don't make it easy for them to let themselves right now. Like, I want a little girl so bad in life, but I'd be so scared. I'd be like, what is society going to do to her? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, even our culture, how men love us, or handle us. Like, thinking of having a daughter in this climate is scary. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, because we're told we got to look like this. We got to be this. Then if you're too strong, then you're too independent. Yeah. Then you can't do this. You can't. It's a way to be a woman. Mm-hmm. Everybody going to tell a woman how to be a woman, but a woman. You know what I'm saying?
You're preaching, okay?
So, no, them girls need to know. I hope they listen to me. Mm-hmm. I ain't got nothing I want from them. Mm-hmm. I have seen it all. I have been around the world. Mm-hmm. I have watched some of the best. Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. If I'm telling you something, I'm not coming,
coming
to
from
you
my heart.
Nagging. I'm telling you the truth.
That comes through with everything you do, and I think it's really going to come through in your new album, too. Like,
Thank you.
You call it I'm the Problem.
Yeah.
And after all this, I don't see it, but I want you to say, like, why do you say you're the problem? What realization did you have? What happened where you're like, you know what, K. Michelle, you the problem?
Because I ain't no fake bitch.
Yeah.
It's just a thing. Like, if you don't let people run over you, if you like yourself, or if you're trying to deal with yourself, if you put boundaries, anytime there are boundaries, there's a problem.
Yes.
Talk about it.
You know what? And I'm going to always have boundaries, especially now. I'm going to say no if it doesn't feel right. I'm going to say, so guess what? I'm not going to fight you about being a problem. I'm going to be your problem because I'm going to be the solution for myself.
Love it.
Being a woman and outspoken in business has been a very difficult task, you know? And people making you feel like they're doing you a favor, or this and that. Like, so you have to know, this is why I'm here, and I'm not going to stray from that. You're not going to make me do nothing that I'm going to have to deal with when I go home. Mm. And I dealt with that in reality, TV. A lot of times I would do something then and then have to live with it at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, why did you do that? Mm. So that's for business. I know my boundaries. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Relationships, I'm just not doing it.
Period.
I'm just not doing it. I'm sick of them.
Yeah.
I'm sick
Wait,
of them.
So you saying you not doing relationships at all?
I don't know what I'm doing, Fred, because I'm not with none of them. Take it all away.
But what you are with, though, Fred, you did say that you love you some white men.
I love me a white
and
man.
And I got to know, like...
I love a white man. Country white man.
I ain't never had a white man,
well,
so
you
what
need
is
to try
like?
That. You need to try that.
What's your experience?
Let me tell you this. And people are going to be so angry with me in this sentiment, and I don't give a f***. I will be your problem. Right. I'll be your problem. The thing is, love who loves you. It doesn't matter their race, color, or whatever. I see so many black women that come up to me heartbroken, and they're just, they won't date anybody. Mm. They have to date a black man. They have to, I get it. But what about just dating a man or dating a woman that loves you?
Yeah.
Like, what is it a focus on color or gender? So for me, when I do, like, when I'm in certain places and certain things, the only men that try to talk to me is white men.
Oh.
And...
Okay, shut up, baby.
I'm in Tennessee. I'm moving around. So I had to look and be like, oh, this man is really flirting with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So then I see, like, my son. I have a son, African-American son. He dated outside of his race. That was a thing for me at that time because I was a little bit shocked. But she was a great girl, and that's what that was. I just think women, black women, just people,
you have to date what your soul meets.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What meets your soul.
True. You know, we got to get into your album that's dropping. Okay. I'm the Problem. Can you tell us what can we expect from this?
Yeah, I think it's what my... I know it's what my fans want. It's just me. I've been writing. Hmm. I write, I drink, and that's... I just talk. I don't ever think about who's going to judge me. I just sing. And they'll get that from this. And I keep saying my last R&B album, but I think it's important to say right here today, this will be the first time in my whole career where I own K. Michelle. I've never owned K. Michelle.
That's a big move.
I've never gotten a check off of my music handed to me.
Wow.
No.
This time.
So what happened why this is the moment? What was the business side?
Bad contracts.
Yeah. Just bad contracts, different things, or even just the basic contracts of the industry. And yes, I've gotten paid, but a lot of it's been for my shows, things like that. But that actual money that they get, I've never got to witness it. Mm. So not only do my rights return to me from the old albums in about 6 months, but any new music after September 22nd, I own every dime of it.
Congratulations on that.
That's why I'm like, you're not taking nothing from me no
boundaries.
More.
There we go.
Congratulations on all your continued success. Keep holding true to those boundaries. Keep telling the truth. More success. K. Michelle, thank you so much for gracing.
And y'all run up y'all shows. Y'all is beautiful in life, life. And y'all run up y'all show. Y'all doing great. We need somewhere for women and people to go that they're not attacked. You know, and y'all have shown so much love. Everyone here, thank y'all, and y'all gonna keep on growing.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Michelle, thank you for gracing the BGS house with your presence. Make sure you cop her new album, I'm the Problem, on all streaming platforms. Up next, we discuss the problem of turning somebody down. We'll be right back on Black Girl Stuff.
You know what you was doing. You playing victim all because he made you look stupid. Boy, you put the blame on everybody else. Point to the mirror and blame yourself.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Black Girl Stuff.
Welcome back to Black Girl Stuff. Now, it's time for us to address the mistreatment, aggression, or suppression faced by some of our sisters out there. This segment is dedicated to Black women who are going through difficult times. No matter what you're dealing with, always remember, we got you, sis.
If something happened to me, they gonna have you on camera.
That's right.
Somebody come get their family member.
That's right.
Following me.
That's right.
Yep. Bye.
That's right.
You're not getting in my car.
Look.
You tripping.
Camera.
You tripping.
Nope.
You're not getting in my car.
Camera. Look, wait.
Unlock my door, but you rushed to my passenger. You're not getting in my car.
Put me on camera first.
Yep,
I'm
on camera.
Hey, look. She can't trust the most trustworthy nigga. She
I already told
nobody,
you
man.
I'm not single, so I don't know why you following me.
Crazy. Welcome to We Got You, Sis. This is our time to uplift and support our fellow Black women around the world, no matter what you're going through during these tough times. Now, as Black women, we definitely always have the right to say, back up, or keep your hands off of me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And fellas, y'all should be taking rejection like a G out there. Ladies, like this video, have y'all ever experienced anything weird or creepy like that?
Never this intense. Like, that's something else. Mm-hmm. But I definitely remember, like, you know, in New York, sometimes I'm walking to the bus stop, for instance, and you gotta be straight ahead. What's your destination? Where are you trying to go? Type of thing. And one time, this dude, like, you know, he was trying to talk, and at first, a little catcalling, you know how to, unfortunately, we know how to ignore it. We know how to just zone it out. But he wasn't ready to take no for an answer. And he followed me literally to the bus stop, waiting until the bus came. Good thing it came in like 20 seconds. And then he called me a bitch, like, before I got on the bus. Said it so loud so that the people in the bus were looking like at me crazy.
Right.
That was it. So,
you just sound crazy. See, I don't play with these guys because if you walking too fast up on me like that, getting in my car, I think you're trying to rob me and I'm going to have to pull it out, okay? Because back up, what are you doing? I can't do that. So, to avoid situations like that, Do y'all still give fake numbers? The fake numbers is not the thing no more? Because that may send him on his way.
Well, yeah. See, the thing about the fake numbers thing, Tori, is I feel like a lot of guys nowadays will call you in front of you.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? Put your number in and we'll call you in front of you. So I even feel like that isn't the safest thing to do either.
Because then you may get upset.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the issue is like just not being able to receive the fact that I don't want to talk to you.
I'm not obligated to talk to you. You feel too entitled. That's not okay. That's what I was gonna say too, to like piggyback off that. Like, my biggest thing when I go out anywhere is I'm in fight or flight mode. It's unfortunate that I have to have that energy, but I'm paying attention to the spaces around me and the people around me. So if the guys are kind of like being super aggressive in the spot, I'm out, because I don't know where this is going to lead to next.
Yes.
So I always pay attention to where I am. And even in her situation, it's like she did the right thing. She pulled out her phone. You going on live. I'm calling my bestie. I'm calling somebody.
Because she did also say, listen, I'm talking to someone. I have a man. Usually that would have been like, okay, enjoy your day.
Right.
The fake numbers aren't working anymore. Like, it's really the new age thing, like you said, you got to get on camera, unfortunately, and hope that somebody in your corner is listening to what's going down.
Yeah, I did want to talk to you guys about what happened with Ro Bashy. There was an incident where she was attacked because she didn't want to give her number to a man.
He's holding a brick, and all these is watching, and nobody does nothing. And he hits me in my face, and they all just watch, and they let that get in the corner. How is this okay? This is what y'all doing to women?
So I have to ask you guys, how does this entitlement that we see with men when it comes to rejection, how does that affect your guys' daily lives?
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's really just a reflection of, like you said, the entitlement and patriarchy.
Yeah.
It's like men feel like I'm in a sense of power, or because I'm just naturally a man, I have power and you're supposed to do what I say and I'm supposed to have whatever I want when I want it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just a matter of fact of like men need to be more socially aware and emotionally aware. Like, hey, she didn't want to talk to me. You don't know what she might could want to talk to you later, but it might be the wrong time. Or there might be, you're not entitled to anyone's access or space. I think they just need to be more aware of that.
Right. I feel like what you guys have been saying, the word entitlement keeps coming up. And I feel like that's the main thing here. How entitled should you be to other people, to other people's energy, to other people's like bodies? And I do want to make sure that we mention on the flip side, I'm not saying that's what she did, because she probably was super gracious and just wanted to say no and move on with her day. But there's a lot of women sometimes, especially in public settings, a lot of women want to kind of use that vulnerability against them and really bash them in public. Oh, ain't no way I'm giving you my number. Like really being rude about it. Again, not saying that's what she did, and even if she did, she doesn't deserve a break. But it's like, you know, sometimes I feel like we're so used to being on the receiving end of being, like, catcalled or being just hollered at that we don't recognize how much guts it really takes for somebody to come up and say, I like you, and I'm waiting for you to make a move.
Right. I agree.
Do you think it's the argument back, though? Are like, not saying us, but, like, are women arguing back with them? Like, if they try to holler, like you just said, is it a back and forth to cause the aggression?
Well, I feel like yes, but I also feel like it's about the approach in general.
Yeah.
Like, how, as a man, are you approaching me? Because there have been instances where I feel like a man has had good intentions, but I was walking and he grabbed my arm and that scared me. And I got my defenses up and I was like, don't touch me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think like that response from women is too, like you said, out of fear.
Yeah.
Like it's a fight or flight response. And you're like, oh, if someone's coming at me with this sort of aggressive energy, I have to either match their energy to show them I'm not intimidated or, you know what I'm saying? Or to protect myself. So I think that it's a delicate dance, and I don't think that every approach works like that.
Right. Yeah, I think it's important for us to be clear that it's not about black men attacking black women.
Right.
It's about the fact that the energy changes when a black woman is being attacked and no one stands up for her. Mm-hmm. Because there's cases when black women are being attacked and there are men there that are not helping, and some women lose their life. Like the girl from Brooklyn that lost her life, Tierra Poye, I hope I'm saying her name correctly. She lost her life. She was shot in her face at the Brooklyn Juve Festival because this guy came and grinded on her and got upset because she rejected his advances.
Wow.
It's like, I can say no to you.
Yeah.
Like, you can say no to me. Mm-hmm. What if I pull up on a man and he's like,
I got a shorty.
It's important to have that choice. And I think men and both women need to understand that, like, it's not about man, we're not trying to attack y'all. We're not trying to take, you know, y'all dignity from y'all, but be aware that the energy that when a woman is being hurt, you have to stand up for her. And if a woman says no, just walk away, bro. It's okay.
It's like, okay. And it's the same thing, like, one thing I tell myself and, like, my homegirls, it's sad to say, but I kind of look at it like dealing with the police. Like, even though they might be wrong, I still want to make sure I never did anything in the wrong to ignite you. So when a guy might approach me or be like, hey, you got a man, you know, saying you got a man, don't even work
don't work.
So I'd be like, they'd be like, okay, well, you can't handle friends. I'd be like, it's a respect thing. If you were my man, I would respect you the same way. That shit disarms me. They'd be like, wow, ma, you so respectful. Your man's is so lucky, no. And it changes their whole energy. The whole dynamic. So I didn't distract you. Now you can't even be offensive. You know what I mean?
God bless you, queen.
Right. So I tell my sisters out there, you know, distract them with the politeness. And
Kill them with kindness.
Kill them with kindness.
Don't be in the streets arguing with somebody you not having sex with. You don't even know this man. It's no point in y'all even arguing. There's no argument.
Protect yourself. Give him the real number and block him. Give him the Instagram and block him. Get out of the situation.
But y'all remember, it's all good to say no when you need to. Keep it real and keep those boundaries. And regardless, we got you, sis.
I will always tell y'all niggas, be yourself on a date or in an interaction. Be your authentic self. If they like you, good. If they don't, good. Now you don't have to waste no time being with someone who doesn't really f*** with you like that.
That's a fact. Stay tuned, because after this commercial break, we got comedian Chase Anthony all set up to bring the laughs.
Black girl stuff.
We got to tone down our nasty, right? Or, like, let's graduate to some shit. Don't spring nasty on me the first night. I don't put my leg down. I don't want to do this. Right? Like, now I'm a little older, so if I don't get no nap, this ain't going to be good. You know what I'm saying?
Welcome back to Black Girl Stuff. Tonight, it's all about the vibes. BGS Vibes is where we present artists to watch on the rise in their field. Our next guest is here to give us his take on relationships. Please welcome comedian, actor, and entrepreneur, Chase Anthony.
What's up? My name is Chase Anthony. You know, I like to start by letting everybody know I'm in therapy. You know, let y'all know everything that come after this. I'm healed. You know, I'm working on me.
Work on you.
And, you know, you can't talk to people that just got one therapist. No, they just got insurance. They still lying. You know what I'm saying? And that second therapist, you're going to complain about the first therapist. The third therapist, you're going to try to have sex with. We don't need to talk about that. And then the fourth therapist is Rachel. You know what I'm saying? I got the Michelle Obama. I went to the top. You know what I'm saying? If you want to get healed, brothers, y'all got to go to the top. I came in, I was like this. Hey, Rachel, you know these... I sat down. She stood up. I was like, you know what? I came in a little hot. Let me start over. Rachel, these black queens are toxic. They are toxic. And then she looked at me. She said, well, maybe it's you. And I was like, damn, well, that's crazy. I think that's our time today, Rachel. Let me go ahead and get up out of here. And then we fought through that. We did fight through that. And then, because I want to be in a relationship. I want to be happy. I want to... You know, I want love, I want kids and all that stuff. Okay. And so I was trying, I was trying to graduate. So I had to go meet the boss. And I was in there, I was like, Rachel, I'm a hoe. I'm a hoe. And I kind of got out these streets, I'm a hoe. I don't even want to be a hoe no more. I just want to find me a happy home, Rachel. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, from your stories, you're not a hoe, you're a hopeless romantic. And I was like, I knew I was looking for love that whole time. I mean, I was looking for the heart, I was just going the wrong way. That was what it was. So now our next step, right, because I've evolved, the next step I'm trying to get past, you know, we in Atlanta, everybody want to show that they in love, they want to hold hands. I want that kind of love. I want that hot love, that hold hands that in Atlanta and skip love. Like, I just want to let everybody know that we in a relationship. We got a matching shirts. They know. Okay, so like I said, you know, I'm evolving. I still need help. So like Michelle say, you know, when they go hoe, I go hopeless romantic. Thank you.
Here you go. That was so funny. I'm going to tell my homegirl that you're not a hoe. You a hopeless romance.
Okay, that's it.
Love it.
Fourth therapist of charm. I got you.
Well, Mr. Chase Anthony, we already know that you're killing it in the comedy, okay? But let the people know what they can look forward to, what you got coming up next.
I got a college tour. I also have a clothing line. Sometimes we can't do other jobs, so we gotta talk into, you know, our other half.
What's the name of your clothing line?
Ghetto Jeans Club.
Okay, Ghetto Jeans.
Ghetto Jeans.
All right, y'all, that's all the show we have for now. Special thanks to all of tonight's guests, Kay Michelle, and of course, Chase Anthony. Catch us next week for more Black Girl Stuff. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Cheers. Cheers.
Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.